This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
Before I invite Pierce first up to interview him, and then John and Sue, we're going to read together from a psalm. And I've chosen this psalm specifically because it mentions a word that is a theme that runs through what Pierce and what John and Sue are talking about this morning. And it's the word pilgrimage. We're all, in many ways, pilgrims. We're all on a journey in life, and we have different experiences on that journey. But as Christians, we have the same destination. Our one destination is God. Anybody who goes on a pilgrimage today and takes these ancient pilgrim routes, as we'll hear from John and Sue, the whole point of it is to get closer to God. And indeed, that's what Pierce and his team are going to be hoping to do as well whenever they travel. So listen out for this word that is here in this psalm, Psalm 84. Listen to God's word. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Hold those words, Psalm 84, while we chat with Pierce and then to John and Sue. Now, Pierce is multitasking this morning. You probably don't realize he's at the back doing the PowerPoint, so he was helping you there read through Psalm 84. So come on up, Pierce, and we'll get you a microphone. Oh, that's right. I'll find a seat here. So Pierce is going in a couple of weeks.
We're leaving on the 5th of July.
5th of July, yep. Right. And you're going with an organization called Exodus.
Yeah. I'm sure many of you are aware of Exodus and a lot of their trips and mission work. Yeah, going with them.
Yeah. So if you're not aware of Exodus, it is an organization that was set up by Norman Linus. You've probably heard of Linus Foods. Sadly, Norman passed away a few years ago, in 2017. But he established this organization because he wanted for his own boys and for the young people in his church and in Northern Ireland have an opportunity to go on mission and to see what the church is doing around the world. And I think there's something like 300 to 400 young people going on Exodus teams this summer.
Yeah, there's a lot. I think I heard there's maybe about 50 teams going.
50 quite a lot. Teams. Yeah. So the whole point of this is so that young people get to see what the church is like beyond their home congregations and their own experience in the local. And back in actually 2017, a team went from Malone to South Africa with Exodus. I think you were maybe 11 then. You were just a wee thing. So here we are, and now you're going on a trip yourself.
Yep.
So why are you going on an Exodus team this summer?
So the reason why I'm going on an Exodus trip, I have a lot of mates at school who went on some, a lot of Christian mates, really good guys, and they just loved it. They loved the experience. And as well as that, a guy came into school, did a whole assembly on it, and really just seeing like the impact you have over there, but also the impact it has on your own faith is really... It's quite inspiring. So a few of my mates, they came to me and were like, we're thinking of going on an Exodus team. Do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. Absolutely. So I'm really just doing it because it is an opportunity for me to expand my own faith whilst also helping, you know, a community out in Spain and Seville. Yeah.
Brilliant. So you're hoping it has that positive effect on your faith,
absolutely.
Like these guys have shared about how they've said it's had a good effect on them. Excellent. So what have you been doing? I know you've been busy over the past couple of months preparing. What sort of things have you had to do?
Yeah, so in preparation, we've been doing a lot of, we've been looking at the New Testament quite a bit, sort of working on our own discipleship, looking at the Jesus's inspiring leadership and the works of the apostles, and so particularly looking at the book of Luke and Acts. We've been meeting every Monday night for the last 3 to 4 months. Just it's a good opportunity for us to get to know each other before we go away, and also just look at the Bible and plan how we are going to help the community out there. Also we've been doing a lot of fundraising. So there's been a few coffee mornings. Mum's been very busy baking away.
Oh, Mum. Brownie points.
Yeah, so it's been really, really good, all the preparation for it. We've also been looking at what activities we're going to do for children out there. So I suggested bringing out the old parachute and having a good game with that. So looking forward to it all and the preparation. Yeah, I think we're somewhat close to being able to go.
Good. So you're doing... financial preparations, you've got the funding, you're doing the practical preparations, you've got all the activities and planning what you could do whenever you're out there. Yeah. But also, like you say, the spiritual preparation, preparing your heart, because I've been on many mission teams and I've found you go out there to try to change the world, but the world actually changes you. And when you go out there and meet God in these different circumstances and see what God's doing, it's really humbling. Yeah. Because you actually realise just how big God is. So I hope that's your experience. Then, what do you know about what you will be doing when you're out there in the church and within the community? Oh, well, actually, I don't think we've even mentioned where you're going to.
Yeah, so.
where are you going to?
Yeah, so we're going to Camas, which is a suburb in Seville down in the south of Spain. And the main focus when we're going out there is literally just to help the community in whatever way we can. Help the churches with particular focus of their young people. So we've got a load of activities set up just to entertain the kids out there whilst also giving God's message.
Mm-hmm. And what do you know anything about the local community, about what its needs are, what it's like?
Yeah, so it's quite a high Catholic population, so we're going out to, we're going out to a church there. Just to help them sort of reach out to their community. So it's help the church in whatever that could be. You know, that could be visiting members of the congregation or even painting a few walls, which very happy to do. And then, main thing is mission to the kids. So we've got Bible lessons planned, like I said, activities. And we will even have opportunity to lead the church services and stuff like that. So it's going to be a good opportunity for me to sort of develop my own way.
Find
to
your
talk.
Voice.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about God, how I can deliver God's message myself.
Yeah. And articulate Piers's faith in God.
Absolutely.
In an authentic way. Yeah. I think that's the one of the great things about going on a mission trip. When you put yourself in these experiences that you've never been before and you're just thrown into the deep end and somebody asks you, why are you here? Why have you come from Belfast to Seville? And you have to then try and explain that.
Yeah.
Sounds like at the heart of it all, you just want to be good news to these people and do something good to bless them, whether, like you say, it's painting a wall or it's bringing joy to the kids supporting the church and encouraging the church. That would be great. And then what are you particularly looking forward to?
So I'm just like, I've been saying quite a bit, I'm really just looking forward to develop my own faith. Like, it's an amazing opportunity I've been given here. I'm able to help others maybe find their faith, but in the meantime, I get to, develop mine even more. It's also going to be really good just spending time with other young Christians, similar backgrounds, see what maybe challenges they've faced as a young person living in God's kingdom. You might face adversity at school or something, so it's good to be able to develop that those sort of friendships. Mm-hmm. Friends like you can have for life and always talk about too, with your Christian sort of experiences. Mm-hmm. That's
great. And then lastly, how can we pray for you and your team?
Yeah, so absolutely any prayer is 100% so appreciated. Big ones, travel, because at the minute our whole flights are being messed about with by Ryanair. We've been kicked off one until
we'll not mention any particular airline. Some are better than others.
So yeah, we're hoping that it's sorted now.
Yeah.
So we're just hoping for safe and smooth travel arrangements, and then also just that we're safe out there and that the message we're delivering really just gets the people out there and mm-hmm. we really have a good effect on the community.
Okay, right. Well, let's pray for Piers now as he goes out to Seville. God, we've just been singing that you are the God of the big and the God of the little. And so we thank you that we can come to you and bring anything to you. And we just ask that you would be in the detail of all these travel arrangements to get this team. And all the teams, as Piers has said, there are so many out to where they need to be around the world to be good news and to bless communities. But especially for Piers' team going out to Seville, to Spain, may they be a blessing. May they be able to meet individuals there who just need someone from this team, like a God appointment, to encourage them and to help them in their faith. And I pray, God, that as Piers himself goes out to Seville, that he might meet you in a new way, that his faith would grow in you, that he would find his voice to be able to share how important you are to him, what you mean to him, and what you've done in his life. But also, God, I pray that Piers would have experiences where he would see what you are doing in other people's lives and around the world, particularly in Seville, that you would just open Piers' eyes to experience that. Would you be with the team? May they have good relationships with each other, but develop lifelong friendships. But we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for Norman Linus's vision. We thank you for Exodus, an organization in Northern Ireland, and for all of these young people, hundreds going out this summer to speak your name, Jesus, to the world. I just pray you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Piers, before we go, we have a small donation for you. That is from us as a congregation. You may or may not know there's a trust fund in the congregation called the JLM Hare Fund. And there's some money in it, and it's specifically set aside for any young people who are going overseas, abroad, to do any sort of mission work. And so we'd like to give this to you and support what you're doing. We look forward to you telling us what happens when you come back.
Thank you so much. Okay? Thank you.
Okay. Do you want to hand over a mic there to John? Piers is going to go back to the PowerPoint. So we're keeping him busy tonight, or today, all day. John and Sue. So John and Sue are actually just back from Spain. They have done their third part of the Camino. Camino Santiago is one of a number of pilgrim routes in Europe that you can still travel through, walk through today. It's sometimes known as the Way of St. James because it's a known pilgrim journey to the Cathedral of Santiago, which was built in 1078. So for nearly 1,000 years, Christians have been making this journey to this cathedral. You've done that journey. You finished it off a few weeks ago. Why did you decide to walk the Camino? And, you know, what were you expecting?
Well, I suppose this all started about 20-plus years ago. I'd never heard of the Camino. I had a patient in who was a priest who was in his early 70s. And he told me about this pilgrimage walk that he was doing over the last 10 years. He just said that maybe he goes for 4 days and he walks a bit and he talks and he stays in these bunker houses. And for some reason, this just caught my attention. But we had to park it at that time because just life didn't allow us to go then. So I had a 60th birthday. Now, I'm hoping everybody's going to say she's not 60, which is not because of...
They're all thinking it. They're all thinking it.
A long time ago.
It was a number
John.
Of years ago.
I'm not here to mediate. I'm here to interview, okay? So stay to the script, please.
So we had a few friends around to celebrate this occasion, and everybody gave me a challenge. And one of the challenges was from a friend called Joe, who had walked Caminos, and he challenged me to do that. So the time was right. We decided that this is what we would do. But we couldn't give 6 weeks up. So we did it in three chunks.
And what were your hopes? What were you doing?
There are a couple of things. Just the route we took was across the north of Spain, from southwest corner of France across to Santiago, which is about 850 kilometers, and then another 90 kilometers on to the coast. So it's almost 600 miles across there, which we did in three chunks. As Catherine said earlier on, the Camino started 1,000 years ago. James was the first apostle to die after Judas, and he was martyred in, I think, 44 AD. His body was taken to Spain, and there it lay.
Apparently.
There's lots of different stories about how James ended up in Spain. But the remains were found in 19th
century.
Apparently. And Santiago Cathedral was established, and then pilgrims started going there from all over Spain. As Catherine said, there are lots of different Caminos. Our expectations were, we weren't quite sure, but we wanted to make time for God. So many times in our lives, we don't concentrate, we don't give time for God, but here was an opportunity to just really take time out and make space and time for God in our lives. So that was what our main expectation was.
Great. And tell us, what was a typical day on the Camino?
Well, typical day was that we got up early each morning and we methodically rolled our clothes, packed them into our rucksack. And that was important, the way you pack it, because if you have it on your back, you don't want bumpy bits. You have to have it nice, in nice order. Then we walked. We prayed every morning as we started. Then after the day, we washed. We washed oneself and our clothes. We ate and we slept.
And then on repeat.
Repeat.
And so there's a real simplicity to what you're doing each day. You're stripping away a lot of busyness. There's no commute. there's no social media, there's no communication, a lot of all that's just gone. Yes, yeah.
Can I just say that each morning we, as we started out, we did start with prayer as well. And for the first 5 days, a friend of ours came with us, and this was actually the wife of Joe, who challenged us. Sadly, Joe passed away very quickly in 2020. So his wife Martina came with us, and she just got into the rhythm of the simplicity. And on day four, we'd been staying in a city, and sometimes it's hard just to make your way out of the city, so you had to concentrate. And so it was about half an hour, 40 minutes after, and all of a sudden Martina said to us, oh, we haven't prayed yet today. And that just sort of warmed my heart that this wasn't sort of a normal life for her. And so that was nice. That
was significant for her.
Yeah.
Did you stop where you were on the pavement and
no,
prayed?
No, we walked. We walked and prayed.
We walked and prayed. Yeah. Okay. And as you walked and as you prayed, what did you learn about life, God, yourself on the Camino?
The Camino is a great leveler. Everybody's the same. No matter where they come from, what they do, everybody stays in the same places, eats in the same places, walks the same paths. It's a great level. There's not a place where nobody's power over anybody else. Nobody is thinking they're any better than anybody else. There's no competition. There's great cooperation. Just such a great leveler on everything that happens there. When you get to the hostel, you take your shoes off and you put them in the same rack outside. And they're always there the next morning as well when you go and get them.
Well, I don't think anybody else would choose anybody else's shoes from the miles that you're putting in. Is that my mic? Is somebody's mic making fuzzy noises? Are we okay? Okay, there we go. Right. When you say the Camino is like a great leveler, it's a bit like the cross. The cross is a great leveler, you know, because you can't bring anything to the cross. You come as you are. And it doesn't matter about your status, your wealth, your feelings. We all come, and Jesus accepts us. And it sounds like the Camino is exactly that.
It is. It's exactly like that. Yep.
Yeah. And who are your fellow pilgrims? Who are the people who put these? Oh, hello, there they are. The trainers on.
Well, we met many people along the way. Some people you just walk up to them and say good morning and start a conversation. You may be with these people for a couple of hours. It might be 5 or 10 minutes. The way to get away from people, or for people to get away from us, is that when you've had enough of them, you just say buen camino. And you
say what, sorry?
Buen camino.
Buen
good camino.
Camino.
And you walk on, and that's quite nice, that you don't have to make excuses or anything. You just. This year we met a blind lady who was on her own, which was incredible, because some of the paths were not easy for us, never mind somebody who was blind. We met a lady who, a thalidomide lady. She had legs, but she didn't have arms, and she was on her own. We met people of over 80. We met a couple with a baby. So anyone can do it. But the thing that we liked most was when we went to the hostels in the evening. A lot of the hostels had a communal table like this, and you sat down with others, and that was a favourite time of the day, just to share your stories with them. Europeans are great to have dinner with because they all speak English. So, they were very kind to us. So there were good conversations around the dinner table. That was good. Good community.
Yeah, good, good. And it's great to learn about, you know, what other people's lives are like, to hear their stories. As you did the Camino, what did you learn about God you know, Piers was talking about how he was going to Seville, so his faith grows. How did your faith grow as you walked?
Everywhere you looked on the Camino, the scenery, just everything that God made is amazing. Whether it's the mountains, the rivers, the forests, the plains. Sometimes you walk through plains that went on for days. Say rivers, lakes. It's just amazing how incredible creation is. And it's something that we take for granted and we should never take for granted, that God is so amazing.
So did you find there were moments where it was just breathtaking? Like, is this one of the... Did you see this view from where you were walking?
We did. These are all photographs we took on the way. That was fairly early on, close to the France to Spain border. And it was one of our first realizations of how amazing the countryside was that we were walking through. So it was staggering. And that was the start of it, and kept on going for weeks.
Yeah, so. I think when we're in the rhythm of our busy lives, we sometimes fail to have opportunities to notice God's creation. Because we're doing our jobs, we're looking after family and everything. So it's great to have opportunities to stop. Like Jesus at one point was walking with his disciples, and he said, "Look at the birds," because they fail to notice. And there's so much that we do fail to notice. And Romans chapter 1 says, you know, that creation speaks of God's grandeur and majesty and power. And it speaks to something in us, that beauty, that wonder. And it's great that you had experienced that.
We stopped a lot of times.
We stopped
a lot of times, yeah.
Yeah. Sue, you're going to say?
I was going to say that I think that we learned that God is available to us all the time, but we just are too busy. And this week we have been listening to the podcast of Lectio 365, which Catherine spoke about last week, and Pete Gregg
he's contributor this week. Yes,
and
he's doing a pilgrimage from Iona to Lindisfarne, and it's St Aidan's pilgrimage, and you can follow him as he does that pilgrimage. Yeah.
So it's been a nice week following him. But what I picked up was that he said that when he prays, he usually asks for the Holy Spirit to come and give peace and comfort. But really, he should shake that up and say to the Holy Spirit, come and bring holy disruptiveness to our busy life, because it's those times that we are too busy to recognize that God is in the center of our lives. So I like that.
Disruption. Careful what you pray for. Now, God answers prayers. So when you pray for holy disruption, it might happen. What challenged you as you did this walk? I'm presuming it wasn't always easy. The paths themselves weren't always easy, but was there anything that challenged you?
Mountains challenged us, high mountains, and paths like that coming down. It wasn't just going up, it was coming down. We walked for 4 days along a bit called the Mesita, which is just flat plain, and it doesn't have any shelter at all. So when you're walking that in 35 degrees, that's a challenge as well. And mentally, that was the physical side of it, but mentally we were challenged that we're walking 30 plus kilometers one day, and then you're doing it again the next day and the next day. And sometimes when you go to bed at night, you're thinking, goodness me, I have to do that again tomorrow. And also, not every day did we meet with God, and that challenged us as well. Mm-hmm. And we asked ourselves why.
And tell me a story about as you got near to Santiago, you said things started to change along the journey.
Yeah, it did. In the early days, when you're going through small villages, a small village might only have 30 or 40 houses, but it had maybe two or three churches in it. And the small churches were very simple, very, just felt a calm when you went into them. And the tree, so you could feel God in the small churches. Whenever we got to large cities, the big cathedrals were so opulent. And so this one is Burgos Cathedral. And it in particular, it was a very opulent main cathedral, but there were so many side chapels off the main cathedral as well. Each of them seemed to be more opulent than the previous one. And it just, it jarred with us that we could feel God in small churches, but the bigger ones, it's almost as if some of the side chapels that maybe had been paid for by a local politician or a local dignitary hundreds of years ago, what were we celebrating? What were they?
It was more about
worshiping?
Them than about God.
That's what it felt at that time.
Yeah.
This year, a lot of the churches were closed.
Yeah.
As we were closed in Santiago.
Yes.
Whether that was because of COVID or whether it was because, so the last 100 kilometers was much busier. A lot more groups of people walked the last 100 kilometers, and people talk about the etiquette of the Camino, and it was different in the last 100 kilometers. You had large groups of people, it was much noisier, you had people there doing it for different reasons. And people who had walked from St. John couldn't wait to get to Santiago and walk on to Finisterre, where you had the true Camino spirit again afterwards.
Yeah. As you did this walk, what surprised you?
Probably that everything that we had in the rucksack is all we needed for 2 weeks. It was, again, the simplicity of everything. And we had too much as well. Some people just leave things at the side of the road or post them home. But we were surprised at how little we need. And then we go home and we see all this stuff that we have, which we're going to do something about that, aren't we?
You're going to declutter? Is that your next challenge? Can we hold you to that?
I'll probably have it in the trailer and he'll take it out. We need to have a more simple life. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And you also mentioned to me about the kindness of people. That surprised you at times.
Yeah, if somebody had stopped at the side of the road and had blisters, it didn't take very long for somebody else to stop and try and help them. There's one guy, Alessio, we met from Italy, and his feet were in a terrible state, and there's a nurse from Canada stopped to help him. Anything that anybody needed, if somebody else had, they shared.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the stage at some of the coffee shops, there would be a table where people would leave things, and there's a little note on it, take what you need and leave what you can.
Yeah.
Which was very, it's just part of the whole Camino spirit.
Yeah. And speaking of take what you need, leave what you can, the last thing I want to ask is what will you take away then from this Camino that you've walked?
There's a couple of places where God appeared unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
And we were walking along where you wouldn't expect God to appear. Right beside a motorway, there was a fence that ran on for about 150 metres. And everywhere along it, there were little twigs being intertwined to make crosses. So these are all just little bits of twig that have been twisted into the fence in the form of a cross. And that went on for maybe 150 metres along there. And that was a very powerful place that just made a big impression on us. We were walking with a girl, Tanya, at the time, who earlier on we'd been talking to her about faith, and she didn't have any faith, or she told us she didn't have any faith. And she stopped and picked up a couple of twigs and put them into the fence as well. And we said to her later on, that was surprising, we just weren't expecting you to do that. And she said, no, that was for my mum, who has a faith, and I just felt I needed to do that for her. We haven't seen Tanya haven't talked to Tanya for 4 years, but just pray that she has continued to that little seed that was planted has maybe grown in her life since then.
Yeah, faith of parents is very important. It can be passed on, the Bible says, from generation to generation. Obviously, her mother's faith had an impact on her, and you gave her an opportunity to recognize that by putting a cross on this fence.
The other thing, we'd been walking through a small village, and there was an old monastery that had been changed over the years into a winery. And the winery made put 100 litres of wine every morning into a tap, and the pilgrims could take the wine out of that. And we felt happy in the mornings, a bit early, to have a glass of wine from there. So we kept it in the flask, and during the every walk we always take bread with us, just as emergency supplies. And along the way, we find a small quiet spot, and we opened our flask, and we broke bread, and we shared communion together, and that was a very special time as well for us.
Great. Well, we'll end there, and thank you for sharing about your Camino. It sounds as if it really is an illustration of the Christian life. There are times when you meet with God easily. There are other times where you wonder where is God. There are times whenever you actually find God in the stories and the lives of other people, and times whenever they help you see God in your own life. Just going to pray for you both that you continue on this journey with God. Let's pray for John and Sue for a moment. God, we thank you for this priest many years ago who planted a seed in Sue to take this walk on the Camino. We thank you for the challenge she received in that significant birthday for her and John, and that they went on this journey, and all the experience of you, of people, of your creation, and what they've shared with us today, God, a reminder of who you are, and that you meet us anywhere, at any time, you're there. We just pray for John and Sue. Continue to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thanks. I want to say one last thing before we sing together. And it's drawing your attention back to that psalm that I read, Psalm 84. And I read the whole psalm, but I just want to read again two or three of the verses that I think are really important. It says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you." This is talking to God. "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, God, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca," Baca means weeping. "As they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God." I think that's an amazing image of what God is inviting us to. Jesus invites us to when he says, "Come and follow me. Come and live life with me. Come on pilgrimage with me. Come on a journey with me. Be with me in this life." And here in Psalm 84, it says, you know, we pass through the valley of Baca. The valley of Baca is a wilderness place outside Jerusalem. It's a desert place. And Baca means weeping. It was a place of weeping. And the very first pilgrim in the Bible is Abraham. And Abraham left his place, invited by God to go to a different land. He left that place after his father died. He was a man who was grieving for his father. He was a man who had lost someone so significant. And here was God saying to him, "Let me father you. Let me look after you. Come with me. Do life with me. I will take care with you. I will help you. I will nurture you. Indeed, I will bless you." And that is what happened to Abraham. A wonderful story. He was the first pilgrim in the Bible. And since then, and even today, God invites us. If you're in the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, I'm going to make it a place of springs. You know, like the rain came down this morning. I went to leave the house and had to stand in the porch for a minute or two because it was torrential. But the ground needed it. because it was so dry. The grass had turned so yellow. And it's like that with God. If we're dry, if we're parched, if we need in life, God says, I can meet that need. If you're in the valley of Baca, come to me and I will take you from strength to strength. So let's take a moment now. I'm going to pray and then we are going to sing together. Let's pray. God, we thank you for what Piers has shared about where he's going to, and for what John and Sue have shared about where they've been. And God, you know where each one of us are in life. You know where we are in the journey. Some of us are in that valley of Baca where it's dry, it's barren, it's parched, a place of weeping. Others are in a place of springs. Life is good. All is well. Wherever we are, God, you meet us. And we have sung that nothing's too big and nothing's too small. You are the God who fathers us, who cares and protects us and provides for us. And we just thank you for that this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you, God, that we can come to you any time of day and night with our pleas, requests, needs, and wants. Help us to remember that no prayer is too small, too unimportant, or insignificant for you to listen to. In this incredible heat wave, may we remember those whose lives are affected by drought and famine. Countries such as Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Nigeria, Somalia, South Sudan, and Yemen. We may complain when we are not equipped to deal with the heat, but it is nothing compared to what other people experience on a daily basis. For those who may be near or far, who do not know how they are going to put food on the table this week, we pray for practical help. May food banks and charities have plentiful supplies of groceries and necessities for families who struggle in this cost of living crisis. Help us to practice gratitude for all that we have and to share what we have with others. For teachers coming to the end of another school year, may you give them strength and great patience in their final days of term. We pray for those children who are dreading the summer holidays, who long for September again. Their family lives are so hectic that they often feel forgotten and neglected. May they have someone in their lives who shows them your love and care and makes them feel that their life has value. And finally, Lord, for fathers, for those who are celebrating Father's Day or waiting to become a father, we pray they will know your peace and blessing. For those who wish their father was still here or will experience loneliness this Father's Day, we ask that they may feel your presence and that you will bring them comfort today. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.